That would be testing, yeah, testing. What did we say it was? Never chase after old pussy, what was it?
Oh, don't put the pussy on a pedestal.
Don't put the pussy on a pedestal. There you go. Well, we'll put this little recorder on a pedestal right here. And it should pick up both of our voices. Brent will have to talk louder than he usually does. Or we'll have to draw this in a little closer.
My elegant
try not to knock it
outdoor
over.
Coffee table.
Oh. So, welcome to, what is this, number four? We started at zero. I think it is four.
Yeah.
Gappage.
Man, we're really slow at this.
Very slow. I think really what we want to do is give the BFF guys a bit of a head start. They needed a bit of a confidence boost.
Yeah.
So we thought if we start to get really rolling on this, those guys are probably going to pack it in and quit.
That's true.
They're not pros, either of them, Mikey
or...
They're not pros.
I was going to say, actually, that they're... I was thinking of saying this until I heard their newest one where they interviewed those artists, but they're really going for, like, the lowbrow humor lately, like...
Lately, I think, from the start.
I know, but it's really come pronounced, like, poop and fart jokes only, so...
Well, that's I mean, you look who's putting on the show. I mean, it adds up.
That's true. I mean, you know, there's only so much to work with.
They do. They do wrestling. A lot of wrestling.
Yeah.
But then we're talking about, what, Alberta and what's the other? Where's Mikey from? Nevada. Alberta and Nevada. So,
yeah.
You got trouble right there.
They're both from, like, buttfuck nowhere, so.
That's it.
Not like anyway, us cultured people in the city.
City folk. We know where it's at.
We have our art festivals and whatnot.
We have, yeah, big things going on. Center of the universe here.
Yeah.
Toronto, for those folks who may not have guessed.
Yeah.
And Gappage number four. The beer tonight, compliments to Brent this time, is Steam Whistle.
This time, or otherwise known as For Once.
For once, about fucking time.
Yeah.
Steam Whistle. He supplied the batteries too.
Yeah. I'm all on top of it now.
Well, that's it. And this time, for a change, we don't have any topics.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything to talk about.
Well, you know, I listened on the way in to the Buttfuck Show, or whatever it's called, and they never have, really. They just sort of talk. They just sort of go on and on and on, and it doesn't seem to matter, you know?
I know, but they still seem to have segments planned out.
Well, they do.
It's like, you know,
they do. Like, they give their name.
The sound of farting or something stupid.
And they give their name, the call number, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure you know what you're listening to.
Well, because they're a typical audience member that they're like targeting towards would forget that sort of thing.
That's right. They need to repeat a lot because of the listening audience. That's now it makes sense, given the listenership to that show, as compared to ours.
Right.
We don't have to repeat things on and on and on. Get the point. But anyway, do you have anything spring to mind? I still do. The childhood still pops up in my mind. I don't know if that's completely done.
Well, I mean, I don't have anything for me that sticks out from childhood. But, you know, you always seem to have interesting topics on that to talk about.
Well, it just seems so far away now, so long. Like, I still can't believe I really grew up in a time when the game, the main game to play, was Cowboys and Indians. Like, that's what you played. And there was no game. You got six guns, and you got a holster, and you got to wear them, and you ran around on a Saturday. You ran outside, and you hid behind trees, and you shot each other. You had cap guns. You had caps. Biggest thrill, putting caps in your gun and getting them bam, bam, bam. And then after a while, you just forgot about the gun, and you go down to the Woolworths or the Five and Dime. You buy rolls of caps. And you just sit on one big rock, like a fucking caveman. That's how primitive we were. And you take another rock, and you just pound cap after cap, because you wanted to smell the gunpowder, and you wanted to see the sparks, and you wanted to hear the sound of a cap going off. Like, that was a thrill.
Wow.
That was fun. When I think of it now, it still sounds like fun. I can still picture myself doing that.
Well, when I was a kid, when we weren't playing video games and our newfangled gadget toys,
You'll have to be a little louder, I'm sorry.
Sorry, when we were kids, when we weren't playing video games, we were playing, well, we called it Commandos, but it was still just running around shooting each other.
Okay.
But we didn't. We had nervous mothers, so we didn't have cap guns. So we didn't have that experience of it.
But were other kids your age having cap guns, or were they already gone by then? I can't believe anybody. You know,
some of my friends had cap guns.
15. We're talking 15 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. But I think they were on the way out.
Oh, they must have been.
Now, like, my friend had a toy that took caps, and it was a helicopter. And you put, like, rolls of caps in and spun the blades and would, like, make cap noises. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Except there's too many sparks and it, like, melted the plastic.
Okay.
That was a bad design.
Bad design.
But, cool toy. Anyway, you were saying.
Yeah, well, I remember one gun I had that, it was sort of a turning point, it was sort of the end of my childhood when I could do this. It was called a burp gun. And it took, like, D-sized batteries, so, like, already we're in a next generation, right? Like, toys when I was really young, starting out, there were no batteries for any of them.
Electricity in your hand.
And then this thing was a burp gun, and it was all plastic, and you put in these batteries and it just made a lot of noise. Like, it was a machine gun. Right. And all it did was make noise and run down the D-cell batteries. And I remember, like, thinking it was neat when I first got it, and realizing really soon, like, this is a really stupid toy. Like, it just, you held it in your hand, this big thing of plastic, looked like a machine gun, and it made noise. And there's something really sad about it now. Maybe it was the end of childhood, maybe it was sort of a last toy of that kind.
Well, my friends had some cool noise-making guns that had some workmanship put into them. Those were nice.
Yeah. Well, I still have my original cap guns. Now, they were good. They were quality cap guns. I still have them in my basement. Like, it's one of my favorite.
You know those are illegal now. They're not allowed to look like guns.
Well, these were silver with white handles. Like, you know, nobody would mistake them. They were silver, and they were real cowboy guns, like six-shooters.
That's why the black ones have the orange on them.
Yeah. Which kids hate. My kids, they'd saw it off. They'd take a hacksaw and saw it off or paint over it. Like, geez, man, that seems such a stupid law. That's just symptomatic of what's wrong with the world. All right, sell the toy, but here, put an orange thing on the top so nobody's going to be fooled.
But then,
by it.
Then you can distinguish it from the real thing.
I know. And you don't, but if you're a robber, you're going to get buy a little orange thing and put it on your real gun, you know, and call their
don't
bluff.
Don't just give out. I'm glad the people that listen to BFF show don't listen to our show.
Because
they would go and do that, and you guys are a lot more wiser than that.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's a little bit of childhood. So, different from my own kids. I don't know. I hope they enjoyed theirs. I bought them. They had Batman toys. All the different you could go in. You know, it was like you stupid toy store. They had all the different models of the various Batman, and then have removable capes and weapons and stuff. They were kind of cool. They were like, you know, like G.I. Joes. I remember when those first came out. Of course, I was an adult. I wasn't playing with them, but my nephews were. And that was the big controversy. Oh, boy, you're going to let boys play with dolls? How are you going to market these things, you know? How are you going to make it not sound wimpy? It is a doll.
They're action
but
figures.
But they're action figures. Exactly. No, you're never allowed to use the word doll. They're action figures. And kids like them, you know.
Yeah, I had action figures for far longer than I should have, probably. I think I got action figures up to, like, my 13th birthday or something ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, which ones in particular did you have?
I'm a nerd, so I like the Star Trek ones. And I don't know, for some reason when the Stargate movie came out, I managed to collect, like, all of those toys. Because they were particularly cool. They were, like, a mix of military and sci-fi.
But did you actually take them out of a box and play with them? Or are you, like, one of these people who buys them and keeps them locked up?
No, I played with them, and now You know, I'm still a nerd, and I buy comics and stuff, but all my comics are well-read and dog-eared, and I don't like that whole fascination with collecting and keeping something for its sort of
potential
value. Potential value.
That is so anal-retentive.
Not its value as like a culture object, something to be loved.
That's really, really disgusting, you know, to buy these things. Well, you can't touch it. You can't read it. Excuse me. You can't open it. Like, that's nuts. I did buy an Austin Powers figure in New York City and gave it to my nephew. I never let it out of the box and hope he hasn't. Because I figured I don't know how long they'd be around. It was pretty neat.
Hmm.
Well, an action figure.
Yeah.
still wrapped up.
My brother and I got into playing war games, like with the plastic and metal miniatures.
Not Warhammer type things. Not that whole series.
Actually, yeah.
Oh man, I think that to me that had the makings of a cult.
My dad called those our little dollies. Yeah. My brother hated that. He's still into it and was more into it than I was. I was only briefly played it for a year or so, but I'm still fascinated by it. Like, there's a movie that they're making of it, and I made a point of tutoring that. So
it's an actual. Fair. Like, it's a game. Like, you have dice, and you stage battles, and you have to have types. And
it has a discrete set of rules.
Yeah.
And with, you know, game, you know, it's turn-based, and it's rules dictated by the dice rolls.
Yeah.
And every unit has sort of a stat chart kind of thing, and it's sort of a comparison of that. But it's tactical and strategic and fun for all that reason, and then there's sort of the modeling portion of it where you can sort of do your own stuff and model your own things and paint, and I hated the painting part of it.
When they're painted well, they're amazing to look at.
Yeah.
But so damn expensive.
That's why I stopped playing, because that company in particular, nuts. Games Workshop in particular, just gouges people, and their prices only went up.
Yeah.
And it was just, there was only one store to get them from, and it was just, fuck it.
I did a podcast about that, because I was so enraged, because my kids used to like to go in and look, but I wouldn't let them buy the stuff. You know, and they did occasionally, somebody's birthday, I got to get them this set.
Yeah.
And so all this money that's spent just for a few, figures, it wouldn't mean anything by themselves, and I didn't mind when my son was painting them and trying to make them look nice, but I was really discouraging him. And I remember we'd walk by him and go in, and the guys just suck you in, and you'd see the people, and there was something weird about it. And the people there, no offense, if you played that game, but I just found it creepy. I mean, I love the looks of it. And if I was a kid, maybe at that time, because I love the little soldiers, and I love playing with my soldiers in the dirt, and I could,
how are people that
I could see it. I could
so
see the attraction.
About that hobby, more creepy than us podcasting people.
Oh, podcasting is a different thing. We're relating. We're talking to people up there.
I see a lot of relating and community in there. But it's also at times competitive. That is inherent in it is kind
of... Well, the money, this too. Buying these sets, like, that's the first thing that got me. And then my son wanted some of just a little grass you buy, and I got a whole bag of dustbane, 5 kilos of this stuff for $5, and he was getting a little bag just so he could have some grass.
Well, when my brother and I played, we had great fun building terrain out of anything but the official stuff.
Yeah. So. And that, I can see that. I can see the creative side of it, but still... I think it was the commercial end of it. And
I like the story side of it, too. There's a rich sort of storyline.
Yeah. I guess it's like anything. Once you get into it, you can see the richness of it.
Yeah.
But if you don't, if you stand outside, it's the same with people who look at podcasting and think they're just a bunch of nerds hanging out in their basement. Same thing. Unless you enter the area, you're not really going to understand what's
Well, now that company attraction. Has made some computer games based on that world.
Yeah.
And I went and bought those because I'm like, I'll buy a couple computer games instead of for $60 instead of hundreds of dollars to get a bunch of shit that I have to then paint and then find people to play with. As much fun as that game is, and that's been fun.
The only thing I liked about the store, I will stop when I walk by to look at their showcase because they've got the absolute
fantastic
best and amazing some of the machinery they get from these. Not just the medieval ones or future. I don't even know how you calculate the eras. Just fictionalized times.
Well, they have fantasy and sort of like, I've heard it described as sci-fi gothic.
That's an interesting description. Yeah, that could work. God damn, I hate to think I'm starting to see the attraction to this. Anyway, I'm glad my kids are past that. I was able to, basically, my job was to steer my kids away from it. And I did.
My dad's tactic was ridicule. when my brother when my brother showed him the magazine, saying, you know, because they have that White Dwarf magazine, and we still buy that from time to time, even though we don't play. So we're still just hooked slightly because they're bastards. And my dad wanted to see it, and he flipped through it, and he's like, "I see all these conventions, but I don't see any girls there." And yeah. he figured that would dissuade my brother, but no, the ridicule didn't work.
I gotta get another beer, so should we pause this, or why don't you talk? Why don't you have a soliloquy there, just chat on your own?
No. Soliloquy.
Is that not what it is?
Well,
a little Shakespearean aside.
You say that right as I stop my mouth full of nuts.
Well, you can tell them about that.
You want one? Yeah, I'm almost done this one. Well, soliloquies. I don't know, the only thing that's been on my mind lately as far as this show goes is all the things I ever want to talk about are, like, personal crises or, I don't know, like, I'm growing up and I don't feel right about it. And shit, that's what I want to talk about again, so I'm not going to do it.
Well, I like that. That's what I should, because it's funny, on my way here, I was thinking the problem with me heading over to Brent's to do podcasts is I only want to talk about serious things.
That's all I want to talk about as well.
Unlike the Best Fucking Friends show.
Those
that doesn't want to talk about anything serious, so we have to be the flip side anyway to them. Yeah. So, what's serious? Is there a personal crisis going on in your life right now that you want to?
No, it's just in the past couple of weeks I've realized that after thinking, you know, getting my working and career life in order, is enough to focus on, as I have for probably the better part of 5 years, is now probably have been a bad idea, and I should have been doing other stuff as well. Oops.
I missed that. You said you're focusing 5 years getting your career, you know, right?
And like so making that the primary focus of my life and neglecting other things. You know, doing that at the expense of other things and now having done that being like, well, I'm not even anywhere where I thought it would be after spending that time. And after neglecting all the other parts of life, I don't have anything from that either, so the fuck?
But you see,
was a dumb idea.
The terms other things is a bit vague. And me, like some of the listeners out there, are saying, well, I'm not quite sure I follow. Are we talking about a love life? Are we talking
love life, about personal development, probably haven't traveled as much as I should have, all those sorts of things. Okay. Like other enriching things. I used to do my podcast for that, but then even that's kind of stagnant. So
work is draining too much of yourself.
I think so, yeah. Oh. And it's not draining. I mean, I like doing what I do, and it's enriching for that, but I've now done it to the expense of everything else, and I want to sort of scale back a bit.
So maybe
I think I might be a workaholic. That's what I might be worried about.
Now that doesn't. I can't pitch you a workaholic. You're just telling me that you're starting to come in late. And so on, although you're working evenings.
Yeah, I mean, so, I have trouble getting up in the mornings, but I work late and I spend my free time thinking about work and reading about things related to work. And
but if you like, I mean, there's a lot of people like that. If they like what they're doing,
I like what I do.
It's using your brain. I don't fully see the problem.
I just feel like I'm missing out. I don't have a love life or a... I don't feel like I've personally developed otherwise. You know, those sorts of things.
Now, an example that comes up is you had an opportunity to go to PodCamp Montreal. We mentioned this earlier.
Right.
Off air. And you sort of... You were close. You're going either way about it. And I wondered if that was... An example, that was open to all kinds of possibilities. Is there sort of a pattern of saying, well, I kind of want to, but you just don't bother to do
well,
it? Was there
in
a really
addition
good reason?
To this problem, I'm also trying to be more smart with my money. And last time when I went to Montreal, it was when I was moving and I barely had any money and I probably shouldn't have gone. And, you know, because I had no money for weeks after that. So I'm just trying to, you know, be... responsible in that regard.
Okay. So
that's what that was about.
All right. So that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Now, when we're talking about developing the women front, and of course, sometimes that's just a matter of luck, time.
Yeah.
Who knows? In terms of personal development, are you looking at like spiritual growth? Are you looking at greater happiness?
Greater happiness. That's my problem.
So you ought to find the secret for how do you attain this?
Yeah.
How do you start to get it?
Or how do you stay happy? I was happy like a week ago or 2 weeks ago for a few days, and then earlier this week I felt like I was going to get depressed again, which I was like 6 months ago.
Can we tell the listeners, now I don't know the answer, and you can just say it's not your business, or you can edit it out, but are you on medication for depression, or are you diagnosed as depressed? No?
I'm not diagnosed as depressed. I went to a clinic, and they talked to me for 5 minutes and told me to take some pills, and I did some research into those pills and decided I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I've since then been on a waiting list to talk to someone, but I'm apparently not going to get a phone call about that until December still, so. And I saw them months ago.
Yeah, there's a long waiting list. There's an awful lot of people with an awful lot of problems in this city in particular. Like, wherever you... And to me, the first step, when I went to group therapy, I lucked out. Like, I really reached a critical point in Vancouver. And I went to a psychiatrist, and they said, oh, well, we got a spot opening up at our group therapy. And the wonderful thing that you learn in group therapy is everybody is as messed up as you are, but most people keep it inside, and they think it's just me who's got this problem, and they don't recognize how widespread it is, how fragile and how hurt everybody else is. Mm. And when you do realize that, even because people hide it in different ways, people get very skillful about hiding it, and they put up this front that you think, wow, that person sure got their shit together. And then you realize, no, look a little closer. You know, these are all, various disguises. And people are hurting in all kinds of ways. I see we're getting a lot of action. I think it's related to Nuit Blanche. I've seen a lot more air traffic and bright lights.
Do you think that's parachuting acts or something?
I didn't see any of that. I didn't hear about that. I would think it'd be a bit risky in the city. But, I mean, that's one of the things and I think the other thing, another secret, is letting go. Stop fighting yourself. And that's very hard to do, but that's a really winning formula. That we actually are our own worst enemy, most of the time.
What do you mean, stop fighting yourself? Because what if I feel like if I didn't do that, I wouldn't...
Well, I think we beat up on ourselves a lot, and I think we really have to cut ourselves a lot more slack to achieve some degree of happiness. First of all, we have to realize that happiness isn't a normal state. It's a nice state to get, but it's not a normal state, and it's not something, you're talking about you can't have highs without the lows, and I think that's true. So you can't stay, unless you're a rarely enlightened individual, in a state of bliss. Most of us don't. We have ups and downs, and the weeks are going to go. I think when you recognize that, and you realize, okay, I'm in a mess now, but recognize that it's as transient as anything else, and that is going to go. And almost release it, almost let go of the frustration of being depressed or angry or frustrated. Say, so what? I'm not going to stay this way. And recognize that that's just in passing like anything else. That kind of an acceptance, it's really helpful. Well, but you can, and that's what I mean by not fighting, because you can get mired in it, and you start dwelling on it, and it seems you start living down in that low point.
Well, and I feel like that's what might be happening to me right now. I'm trying to not do it, but at the same time, there's something in the back of my head that says, well, you can't do anything about it, or, what could you do about it, kind of thing.
So, yeah.
You know, you could do something, and it could still... You could still get sort of pulled into that little hole. So,
but this is the secret of Zen, is recognize that everything is transient. Nothing lasts, including every feeling we've got. And it is that letting go. It is that sense of, okay, it's here. That's how I feel now. Whoop. And just accepting that particular moment and waiting for the next one that's going to come on. And it's going to be different. one or the other. Might be a little lower at that point, might be a little higher, but it's going to be different. And I think that no state, including depression, frustration, is a permanent state. It's one of the reasons I do podcasting, is I vent an awful lot. I sort of, as you express the thoughts, you get rid of them. They're gone. It's a release. That's why people meditate. You. It's like allowing your mind to get rid of this pollution, this dirt that gets through your system. You gotta let it go. You gotta get it out.
So maybe I should get back into my podcast. I mean, part of the reason why I want to restart my podcast is for that personal development thing, partially.
Well, I think that's an excellent idea, and I think that's a very good motivation for doing it. But I to me, the way to go, and not many people do this.
I'd hate to not make it a job, though. So,
what do you mean you'd hate to not make it?
Sorry,
a job?
I hate to make it feel like a job.
Yeah,
though.
Don't.
So that's
totally the wrong approach. Like you.
But at the same time, I don't want to make another podcast where it's just me fucking around on the mic, because I feel like that's not worth people's time.
But sometimes you might have to go through that point to get to where. Like I can spend 20 minutes before I finally got to the point I want to get to, and then I feel really glad. And my listeners, they're patient. That's why I have that fuck off rule to the listeners, that you just say, hey, give me time. I need time. Don't pressure me. Don't push me.
True.
And they eventually get there. But if you feel right from the beginning, I got to get it right, then that's what I call beating up on yourself. Already you're putting this extra pressure on yourself, and you're digging a hole for yourself right off the bat. You got to just sort of let it go. Hey, doing the best I can. This is what you get. Fuck you. And that's a nice
simple
formula.
And that's what
I
did before, but I was worried if that flippancy was amateurish or something.
No, because I think if you have that state of mind, you're more likely to have gems come out afterwards. You're going to have to change the conversation now that your brother's come home?
No, he's aware of this stuff, so. All right. It's all good.
I don't want to dominate this conversation.
Well, I mean, you're giving me a lot of good advice, though.
Well, there are things that have worked for me, and they do work wonders. How are you doing?
How's it going,
hello,
gentlemen?
Sir.
Congratulations on the new job.
Yeah. Well, slow Saturday night, but whatever. What's up? How's it going?
Recording.
Not bad. We got a recording going.
You see.
You're welcome to join in or listen in. Or
as long as I'm here,
tell
I'm going
to shut it off.
Art show thing later on tonight.
You can take my pass.
Oh, you're not going?
Well, if we do, he has a ticket. So.
I have a one of these day pass things that you can do two adults on it. So if we do go, Felina
right
holds off.
Yeah.
Thank you for cleaning up the living room.
No problem.
When I get home from work tomorrow.
I do that again. All right. Why are you putting our useless domestic shit on the podcast? People don't need to hear that.
You're right. Sorry about that.
Well, we can shut it down. We can pause it. We can edit it out.
That's true. Do
anything we want. We're talking about serious issues here. We're talking about getting control of your life, and how do you?
I was lamenting how that's the only thing I talk about on the show, trying to get my life together and all my personal problems, and then that's what I wanted to talk about today. So, just sort of this whole, I feel like I've devoted my life too much to work and neglected other things, you know, like keeping my house in order and those sorts of things.
We gotta learn your man skills. I gotta teach you how to wire an electrical outlet and.
Well, we gotta do that for the
and
show.
Put a wall stud in. Gotta teach him all that sort of crap.
See, that was my hang up when I was young, trying to define one of my biggest hang ups. And actually, it was about your age. How old are you now again?
27.
27. 27 was a turning point for me, because up until then I was always trying to define a man, and I thought if I didn't know how to wire a stereo, if I didn't know how to fix, if I didn't know how to do all that shit, then I just wasn't a man, and it bummed me right out. It brought me down, because I knew I couldn't do that crap. My brother could, my father could, I couldn't, period. And it was when I could finally let go of the fact, hey, you don't have to define being a man by those terms that you see on TV or in a magazine. Mm-hmm. You define it by your own terms. But that is really hard, to have the balls to define your own, you know, to make your own rules what it is.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm doing it to, because I think these are the rules that define what a man is. I would be doing these things to see, and I don't even know, we keep referring in vague terms to what I want to do my new show about. Did we ever talk about that on this show?
No, we haven't. You can go right ahead.
Well, it's vaguely related to something we talked about on this show when I mentioned that quote, which I now have found, actually. okay. from Robert Highland about all the sort of things that a man needs to know how to do.
That is this from A Stranger in a Strange Land, or is it?
No, I think it's just like a random quote that he made.
Okay.
And it's like, a man needs to know how to change a diaper, shoot a gun, and build a house, and write a sonnet, and manage his finances, and all of these things. And I think for me, it's less of a...
I can do all that crap.
Well, good for you. there's other things on the list, jackass. So you can't do some of them.
No, I mean, like that.
Maybe you can read that list and feel better about everything. You're like, well, I know all that shit. I was good to begin with.
It's gotta be a joke. Like, who the fuck can build a house?
Not one single person can build a house completely. No,
it's not build a house. It's like build shelter or something. You better save some for.
I did, but I've had more gold days.
But I think I'm exploring more. If I do learn these things after having learned them, do I feel like more of a man kind of thing?
Well, what are the things that you have to learn to do? Like, for example, what's on that list that's got to be done? Like, is there something in particular? You talked about wiring. Oh, that smells good, though.
Wait, do we have to define this list of things a man should know, or just things any person should know how to do as part of being a human being?
Like, does this have politically correct?
Well, no, but
I think it's a different list for women. I think women have even more pressure on them. You know, the women who get stuck to be a mother, to be the perfect mother. My God, her wife, what a horrible.
Are we defining this list as this list makes you a man, or should it be just a list of things that
I'm intending the show to be an exploration of the different things that people think define.
Okay.
What a man is, and I would start with that list and then go from there, maybe take suggestions or find some other list somewhere.
So just let me get it straight here. This is the show you're going to do. This is not on our show now.
No.
I like it being on our show right now. I think this is a launching pad.
you can take off and go ahead and do it on the show,
but consider this as sort of a gateway.
I'd be happy to do it on the show.
Well, we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
You've never shot a gun?
No. Need to shoot. Teach me how to shoot, Alex.
Sounds ominous. Know how to shoot.
I grew up. It's funny. I was thinking about
a couple times. That's about it.
You got the Marksman Award, jackass.
I'm an okay shot. Well, at least I was like 7 years ago before I started smoking weed. So now, who knows?
What were you? What were you firing? Okay, shooting. 22 rifles.
I've shot 22 Lee Enfield rifle. C7 semi-automatic.
Now, what's a C7? Like, these are terms I don't know. I know guns, but I used to know guns.
22 caliber Lee Enfield.
Yeah, that
is.
I know.
Yeah.
But what's the C7? Well, what's this?
C7 is the standard issue Canadian military infantry
rifle.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the caliber of the bullets in that?
That's a very good question. I have no idea. I don't remember anymore. I remember it looks like an M16. And it can go on full auto. I didn't fire it like that, though.
Why not?
Because they wouldn't let us. They wouldn't let... I was, 15 years old? They wouldn't let 15-year-olds do that at the time.
You guys are pussies.
And then, also, I went to... There's a shooting range inside the West Edmonton Mall.
Yeah.
Like, when I went there with my dad, I went to that thing. And shot a... I don't remember exactly the model, but it was a police issue Beretta pistol.
Oh yeah,
well, that thing would be fun. It was big.
Doesn't Sean live in Edmonton now? I wonder if he.
Sean moved to Edmonton. Well, he rides a bike now. Now he talk about guys doing manly things. You know,
and riding a bike is the most noblest of all sports.
He's
and
a big
manly.
Cyclist.
Oh, he's a cyclist. I'm talking about when I said bike.
Oh,
I meant
riding a real
great big not sucking bike. Motorcycle.
No, where you wear those faggot tight pants.
Yeah.
They have it all the right places, man.
I'm just saying that to get a rise out of you. I don't actually think like that.
And they make my package look awesome.
Well, that's wonderful.
That's important.
Say 56 caliber.
56 caliber.
Yeah, is that what the... Is that a... Or maybe not. 5.56x 45 millimeter.
45 caliber? Yeah.
Is that how that works? Yeah. The millimeter is the caliber? 45 millimeter.
Could be.
What other bullets? What other things are on that list?
Oh, I could go get the list.
You actually have a, what is this, My Name Is Earl? You have a list written down?
I have started watching that.
So is firing a gun on that list of things you have to do?
I think shoot a gun.
Yeah, I think that is one of the...
At somebody? Like, do you have to kill somebody, or...
Or at least something.
Just shoot a gun.
We could, you know, take you up to Algonquin, and then you can bag a deer or something.
Well, the buffalo are right beside the road. You can get the buffalo in.
It's fall. It's hunting season pretty soon.
Oh my god, I have to go kill something?
Be a man. You want to be a boy all your life? You want to be a man? Kill something, you bastard.
You don't truly feel alive until you've taken another life.
Oh, that would be horrible.
I have friends who they're people I know, but they like hunting bow and arrow.
So
they swear by
it. The people I know.
They're not my friends. They're just people I know of.
Well,
it's like this guy.
They have been, but I haven't seen them for a long time. These are people from Val d'Or. It's another tribe altogether up there, and they grow up hunting and living in the woods. And
I knew a guy in high school who was actually into the hunting with a bow.
Yeah, they swear by it, these guys.
See, that's manly.
Gives the animal a chance. Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, okay, I guess that really gets back to the central issue. Do you really want to do it? What's it going to prove? You know, you're doing it because somebody else has done it, and it's a tough guy thing to do? Or would you really want to? I could never kill an animal. I'd never want to kill an animal. I'd get no pleasure from it. I felt upset because of a spider. I dropped down my window crack today. I thought, oh, the poor bugger. Is he going to live down there?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't give a shit about insects.
When either it's going to be the zombie attack or just a general Armageddon, it's going to happen within our lifetimes, and we're going to all have to fend for ourselves in a nomadic society.
Well,
so knowing how to operate a gun would be helpful when that happens.
Move down south if you want that kind of action. Cross the border, everybody's packing heat, ready for the civil war that's coming.
I found the quote.
Okay.
A human being should be able to change a diaper, plan an invasion, butcher a hog, con a ship, design a building, write a sonnet, balance accounts, build a wall, set a bone, comfort the dying, take orders, give orders, cooperate, act alone, solve equations, analyze a new problem, pitch manure, program a computer, cook a tasty meal, fight efficiently, die gallantly. Specialization is for insects. Robert Heinlein.
Wow.
Heinlein, eh?
That's quite a list. I think our listeners will have to pause and replay that one.
Yeah, I will give a link to this list here so people could look at it.
I just have trouble with the equation part.
I love this one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that you can just sort of get all this information at your fingertips.
It's pretty sweet.
Brett and I have both finally jumped on the smartphone bandwagon.
Yeah,
I have a Crackberry now.
So, but what this isn't an iPhone, is it?
No, it's a Palm Pre.
It's the Palm Pre.
Yes, it's pretty fancy.
Yeah.
Why? It's pretty cool.
Indeed.
I just
downloading that Nui Blanche app onto my Curve.
You can?
It doesn't support it for the Curve. It does for like every other BlackBerry except for that one.
That's what you get for getting the free BlackBerry.
It wasn't free.
Only rich people go to cultural events. They have good phones.
Well, it had it for like the iPhone and then the Storm. And then the bowl, like only the two newest BlackBerries.
Well, that's what you get for having a shitty old BlackBerry.
Hey.
So, is this not one of the dangers, though? You're in the middle of a podcast, and next thing you're just lost in this phone.
Well, I mean, one of the good things about this podcast is I often don't have a computer in front of me. On my other podcast, that was a matter of course. And I needed to find that
You did. I mean, it was hanging.
You guys
there.
Were talking. It wasn't
the
only one.
No, no, there was no downtime. I watched you, and I could see you're beginning to get mesmerized.
Yeah, when I first got it, the first few days, I was like all over it. And then, you know, like any free second at work, at lunch, just staring at my phone. And I told the guys at work, I said, I just got this phone. If next week I'm still staring at my phone every second like a douchebag, you can call me on it. Because that's some bullshit.
Apparently, that
first date.
That expression is upsetting a few people on Twitter now. Douchebag. It's sort of.
Well, that's
is that really a good
term?
I actually don't. I've never liked the expression myself. So I think we should maybe think about banning it from this particular podcast.
Like douchebag?
No.
Why?
Well, what is a douchebag? You know, it's
hygiene.
And so why? Yeah, and so.
Yeah, but what is a square? well, call someone a square. Like, that's... women have that same argument, too, and I... This is going to make me sound fucking terrible, but...
Go ahead.
There are women, no.
We don't have any women listeners anyway.
Yeah. Oh, well, there we go.
I think we do.
Well, that'd be nice if we did. I hope we do.
There are women that I know that, as a matter of course, are completely fine with profanity. They use it themselves.
Yeah.
Fuck, shit, cock, balls, all that sort of stuff. Except for the word cunt.
Yeah.
And this same woman who has such an aversion to this word will drop pussy or axe wound or any of the other any of the other monikers at the drop of a hat, except for cunt. And I want to know why that is, because some of them are fine with it, and
a lot of guys don't use that word. I never use that word. Like, I swear, I love swearing. Like, to me, it's an art form, and like, I take special delight in it.
Yeah,
I never use that word.
Well, I've.
It's
why is that?
Friends.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm
not advocating the use of this word. I'm just wondering why
it's interesting. There's no real reason for it. It just seems harsher somehow than the others. And I don't know why. Like, I remember, fuck used to be that way, and now you can't live without fuck. You know, it's everywhere. And maybe that will happen to
cunt.
The C word. But, I don't know, there's something about it. There's something the harsh. And it's, I would say it's almost as many guys as women who don't use it.
Well, they use it all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I use cocksucker all the time. Like, when I'm really angry, you fucking cocksucker. You gone down. I was talking about scum-sucking fucking cocksucking lawyers today. And that, like, it just all comes out in one nice easy roll, because that's
really.
But it's probably not. It's probably not a good choice of words.
Probably not.
I would never call them cunts.
I used to have problems saying cunt, but now I don't have problems saying cunt. Right. As you can say.
Oh, we've established.
No, that. I was just like being gratuitous because it makes you too uncomfortable. Apparently,
it doesn't make me uncomfortable. I'm curious as why it's a taboo word.
I was uncomfortable about it, given the culture that we're in. But then I met a bunch of friends from Australia, and those women have no problem saying that. Because of my proximity to them, I started using it.
Well, they're Australians. They're bush people, basically.
They're bush people. Yeah, that's true.
But douchebag, it's been used a lot.
Well, that's what we were talking about.
And casually, at PodCamp Toronto, it was used all the time.
Oh, so really?
Van was using it all, like a big screen's been slides. Don't be a douchebag. And it's everywhere on Twitter. And so it's become so common. And some people, wait a minute, should it be, you know, is there something else? I don't know. Anyway, that's like a little commercial take for swearing. We can drop the topic or we can stick with
it. Don't understand what the problem is with douchebag.
Isn't there something better? Something more creative?
I think it's not so much the worst.
What's my
I don't think
old fucking arsehole.
I think it's not the word itself. I think
it's the
cadence of the word, and the sounds are fun. Douchebag is fun.
Okay.
Anything with an ooh in it. Fuck okay. You is fun.
Yeah.
But put the ooh in the front.
Cocksucker. Anyway, that's a slight change of time. But if you want to be a man, you got to know how to swear properly. That should be on that list. You know, Bond would have that on his list. James Bond.
Oh.
I watched Casino Royale the other night. That's got to be one of the best ones. That's
got to
be the best Bond film. You hated it?
It was like
the book. Oh, he's great. He's right up there with Connery.
Yeah, like who? Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, come on.
He's
just a big pussy. I mean, he looks good. Come on.
Put the hell out of my house.
The thing about the new Bond movies is that they changed the character. Because now Bond gets his ass kicked repeatedly.
Yeah.
And it's more real.
Connery did in the beginning.
That's true.
And this...
But did you ever see Roger Moore or Pierce Brosnan take more than a shot to the mouth?
Roger Moore was when they turned the whole series into a comedy. Like, he doesn't even count. That was comedy stuff.
Fuck, our mother won't shut up about Roger Moore. Anytime he brings
up... I like Timothy Dalton. Timothy Dalton looked the part. I thought he was okay for it, but... But this guy, Daniel Craig, I think is fantastic. I think he's, bam, finally what they've needed for a long time to bring some life back into it.
Have you seen the newest one, Quantum of Solace?
Yes. Both of them I love.
That driving scene at the beginning was...
He's not suave enough. That's what it is.
He's not suave enough.
No.
What are you talking about?
He's too rugged. You can't be suave and rugged.
If we locked you in a room for 5 minutes with him... Your pants would be gone. You'd melt.
Well, maybe, but... Jeez. That's just because I like rugged men.
Well, now we're getting somewhere.
No, I...
So is this what the closet stands for in the Closet Geek?
Yeah, right.
All right.
No, I'm not a cocksucker, as you would say.
Well...
Oh, wow, we suddenly went down a rat hole.
You're
there.
A cunt lapper.
Yeah. Yeah, I cunt like clocks.
Oh, what's cunt lapper? I don't know. Is that bad? That doesn't seem... Putting it together doesn't sound as bad to me. It's just by itself.
Like, cunt is so skating.
Like, it is. Calling someone a cunt.
Hmm? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Calling someone a cunt.
You're a cunt.
Yeah, I reserve that word for people who are beyond a bitch.
I don't know if I can even find...
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. Is beyond a bitch.
Yeah, step higher than bitch.
Yep. That's how it goes. That's the order of
wasabi peas.
Yeah, they are. You might have some.
No, I don't want it. You got all kinds of mixed nuts, but you didn't buy almonds.
No. Oh, I got some nuts here. I was actually going to bring them out for you guys. And they're not the wasabi ones. I left them at home. What's this? Maybe they're coffee peanuts.
Buffaloos.
What time is it, by the way?
You know, it's 9:30.
Okay. Supposed to meet my friends in an hour.
So are there any Nuit Blanche things anyone wants to check out? Because I haven't heard shit all about that since I wasn't doing the website this year.
Well, I'm pretty much just going to show up wherever I'm told to show up.
Oh, are you meeting friends?
Yeah.
You don't have any friends.
Oh, fuck you, you asshole. So this is the guy who's been in his apartment all night.
I slept all day.
It was awesome. I heard you talk to mom, by the way.
Try these ones. Are these the coffee ones?
Coffee?
Peanuts, coffee flavor coated.
Yeah. Wicked. Give me
that.
That's
a bad translation. There you go.
Not bad.
Try some.
Delicious nuts.
Well, we...
Man.
Filled up a podcast, considering we had nothing to say.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with that.
Sounds good. Did we really go for like 40 minutes there?
No, we haven't done that.
Oh, well.
I don't know how long we've gone, but...
Fuck it. We can, let's pause it and think of something else to talk about. Since we've had a long...
Was it?
I'm not lost.
Folks, if you don't mind, we're going to pause this.
We just walked through all of the Nuit Blanche stuff. Not a single thing struck me as... Well, I guess the sensory deprivation was interesting.
Yeah, that was the witches. Little bangs there, they hung you in.
Yeah, witches.
I like that. And it was a beautiful building.
It was in the TD building.
It's not the TD building.
No, it's not the TD building.
No, no.
What building is that?
That'd be an insult to them. It's now Brookfield Place.
Oh, well...
I know because we have meetings in the McMillan building, which is attached to it, and their offices.
Okay. Well, Brookfield Place is a gorgeous building.
Coming out and seeing the architecture lit up at night is nice. That alone is worth it. That's a lovely building. And
doing wandering around in the city for the sake of it. That's fun. But you don't need an event like this to do that.
And right now we are hovering over the 10 cents display.
20 cents display, and that's cents spelled not as in the currency, but the smell.
There are 10 porta-potties, and each one has its own unique smell, and people stand in a very long line and enter each one, take a smell, and then move on to the next one.
And one of the smells is closed. It's in fact only 9 cents, unless the closed scent is some sort of artistic
statement. I don't know which one is closed. You seen that one?
The one with that lady in front of it with the blue blanche jacket.
Yeah. She's not letting anybody in?
No, I haven't seen anyone go in. And that's the...
Well, I think somebody's in there and she's not letting them out.
See?
Somebody threw up in there. That's it must be it. Somebody puked.
Well, that's a scent.
Yeah. Or took a shit. Somebody wanted to make an artistic statement. They took a shit in the, fourth scent or something.
Well, that's kind of funny.
Well...
Maybe not to the end.
Anyway, we can't say either of us are totally enamored with Limoges. But we've only seen a small fraction, so it's very unfair of me to judge. It does have a funny vibe for me, just to see a lot of people lined up for a lot of questionable things.
My experiences of Louis Blanche over the past 3 years have gone downhill. So,
well,
the glimpses I've seen, though they've been shorter and shorter still.
Yeah.
It sucks to say you have to come all night for something to get your worth.
Well, again, I think it's another statement altogether. I don't think that's the meaning of it. It's used to get people out and reclaim the streets and make, acquaintances and realize we actually are a safe city after all, and we're good people. We'll have people look at each other, get them out of their houses for a change, out onto the streets. I think that's the intention. And they probably do this all over the world.
If that's the intention, then
I think it is. I think it has to be. It's certainly not about the art.
Certainly not art.
No. It's good. And I'm seeing we're getting a lot of visitors, new Canadians, a lot of Asian people. We might normally not come out to something like this, but it's pretty harmless.
I saw
it was a big drunk, down a section off the street, and then have a beer tent.
Yeah.
You're going to get a different crowd.
I saw a lot of U.S. plates on the way home.
U.S. plates?
On Friday night, and someone said that they'd heard something about a bunch of people from the States coming up for Louis Blanche, and I thought that was crazy. But...
I think they have fun. They'd say, oh, fuck this shit. They go off to a bar.
Yeah. It's an excuse to get them to Toronto, and that's fine.
Sure.
All right.
Anyway, so that's about it. We put out a lot today. It was a good day. Well, for a podcast, it was a successful day.
Yeah, it was fairly efficient. Productive.
And I think I'm just cutting my losses. I'm here now. There's a GO train. Get me to the parking lot. It seems an easy way to get home, rather than pull out the beer I got in my bag.
No,
you still have some.
I still got some.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
All right.
All right, man.
So, I want to bye to the listeners.
Goodbye to the listeners.
The final words only applied for the other show.
Yeah, this is sort of a...
This is a different. This is a PS.
Yeah, this is a public service.
We don't need closing words? I'm just wondering if it's something we should do. We should stick in there. The closing. It's a different one every time. Just closing word.
The closing word.
It's a rip-off of Shane and Tommy. See, we're not putting three together. We're not joining them. I'm not going to laugh hysterically like Tom does. I'm just going to say, hey, good work. You don't have a word?
Whimsy.
Whimsy.
That's the word of this. That's the only redeeming thing of this.
I'll add poo to that and just make whimsy poo. It's...
It's your BFF show.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I'm the one who's dragging this down.
Yeah, way to go. You're supposed to be the wise highbrow.
Well, I am. But part of the wisdom is looking like an asshole. That's how you infiltrate.
All right.
After having having been exposed to someone's presence, you feel as if you'd lost a quart of plasma. Avoid that presence. You need it like you need pernicious anemia. Don't like to hear the word vampire around here. Trying to improve our public image. Build up a kindly, avuncular, benevolent image. Interdependence is the key word. Enlightened interdependence. Life in all its rich variety, take a little, leave a little. However, by the inexorable logistics of the vampiric process, they always take more than they need. Now, some of you may encounter the devil's bargain, get that far. Any old soul is worth saving at least to a priest, but not every soul is worth buying. So you can take the offer as a compliment. They charge the easy ones first, you know, like money, all the money there is, yeah, but who wants to be the richest guy in some cemetery? Money won't buy it. Not much left to spend it on, eh, Gramps? Getting too old to cut the mustard. Well, time hits the hardest blows, especially below the belt. How's a young body grab? Like three-card money, like the end of the shell. Now you see it, now you don't. Haven't you forgotten something, Gramps? In order to feel something, you have to be there. You have to be 18. You're not 18, you are 78.